Good morning. Welcome once more to this corner of the vicarage on this, the first Sunday after Easter. I do hope you're all keeping well and safe and flourishing in spite of all the difficulties that we're having to face together. And this morning we're starting a new sermon series, a sermon series on the Beatitudes. You might say to me, well, what are the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are those sayings in Matthew's Gospel, in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount. And he starts to say, he begins his sermon by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the weak, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so when Jesus says, blessed are the poor and blessed are those who mourn, what he's really saying is that happy are those who mourn. Happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And so what Jesus is saying is that to be happy, you've got to mourn. You've got to hunger and thirst. You've got to be poor in spirit. You've got to be meek. Because to be happy means to be all these things. Of course, it sounds strange to us, but that's what Jesus was saying. And then he was also saying in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, I want to point you to the way to this kingdom of peace and this kingdom of happiness. And so what Jesus is doing is he's pointing us to the gate. He's pointing us to the doorway. And he's saying, here is the way that you can enter into my kingdom of joy, my kingdom of everlasting righteousness. And Jesus is saying that because he's contrasting his kingdom, this kingdom of peace, this kingdom of joy. He's contrasting his kingdom with the kingdoms of this world. Let me explain that, if I may. We're all born into the kingdoms of this world. Back in the day, everybody was born under the rule and the reign of the Caesars. They lived and died under their rule. And so it is today that men and women die under the authority of governments, of prime ministers, of presidents, of sheikhs. We're born into the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus said that he noticed one thing about the kings of this world, and that is simply that the kings of this world, the rulers of this world, lord it over their subjects. And their superiors self-consciously exercise authority. That's what it's like in the kingdoms of this world. Men and women, kings and rulers, become masters of manipulation. And they, in a sense, have to do so, because they want to advance their careers at the expense of others. And so what they basically say is, your life for mine. And so Jesus says, that's what it's like in the kingdoms of this world. It's all about power. It's all about being in charge. And so what the kings of this world try and do very often is to make their subjects afraid. Because men and women have realized that anxiety and fear can be a very effective instrument when you're trying to rule. And that's the case because if men and women are in a state of anxiety and are left wondering where their next meal is going to come from, then they're much easier to rule because men and women then become biddable and tractable. The great thinker Rousseau said, it's bound to be like this. It's bound to be like this because each and every one of us are seeking freedom. And the way to be free is to make sure that you're the one who calls the shots, so others serve you. But Jesus is saying, that's not what my kingdom is like. And so if you want to enter my kingdom, you have to be born again. You need to change the way you think. There's got to be a revolution in your values. That's logical, isn't it? That makes sense. That just as you were born into this world the once, where the great lord it over the lowly, so you need to be born the once into another kingdom where the great serve the lowly. And so what Jesus is saying is that there is this desperate need for conversion. Jesus said this. He said, I tell you the truth, you must be born again. Notice that must. You must be born again. Notice the necessity. Jesus said, the blind must see, the deaf must hear, the mute must speak, the crippled must walk and run. Simply put, Jesus saying, the dead must live. You must be born again into my kingdom of righteousness. And so that's why when you open the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus comes preaching the kingdom of heaven. That's the whole context of the whole Gospel, which includes the Beatitudes. Way back in chapter 4, some of the first words that Jesus ever spoke in public are simply these. Repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is not a kingdom of the world. This is a kingdom of heaven. As I said, these are some of the first words that Jesus spoke in public. He comes announcing this kingdom, the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. And you know, Jesus was always talking about this kingdom. As I said, he opens his gospel with those words speaking of the kingdom. He also ends the gospel referring to the kingdom. He says that the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations. And as you think about this, what you come to realize is that it is Jesus who is ushering in this kingdom. To put it more bluntly, it is Jesus who is the kingdom. But so many people don't seem to understand this. For what many people want is to have Jesus as their savior, but not come under his rule as their king. But Jesus keeps on saying, you cannot have me and not come under my rule. For I am a king, not a counselor, not an advisor. I am the kingdom. I and the kingdom are one. And that's why Jesus, strangely, was always pointing to himself. That's why he used to say, if anyone tells you there he is out in the wilderness, don't go. And if they say here he is in the inner rooms, don't believe it. And you ask yourself the question, why not, Jesus? Why should I not go out there or stay in here? And Jesus says, because I am the one who has come from above. I am from above. Everyone else is from below. I am not of this world. Those out there or those in here belong to the kingdoms of this age. And then he said some astonishing words, amazing words. He said, you'll see this with your own eyes at the end of the age. For at the end of the age, just as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the West, so it will be at my coming to judge the world. Very well then. Jesus has come to usher in his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. But look at what this king says. He says, in my kingdom of peace and gentleness and glory, I do not want my subjects to be anxious. Listen to these words. Therefore, I tell you, says Jesus, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? I love those words. They're some of the most gentle and kind words that any king ever spoke. And so Jesus is saying, I am not like the kings of this world, for I am meek and lowly and gentle in heart, and I've come to give you rest for your souls. I have not come to rule in a kingdom of fear. And I love the way that Jesus gets at that, for he says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Do you see what he's saying? It's a tremendous reminder for what Jesus is saying is that the reason why we are always worrying is because we think, you and I think, that we are the ones who are in control of our lives. But we're not. And so all the worrying that we do, all the lying awake at 3 a.m, all the stressing and all the fretting over what we shall eat and what we shall drink and all the worrying over clothes, all this derives from the idea that we are the ones who are in control of our lives. But we're not. Jesus says, you can't even extend your life beyond the 1 second that God has ordained. So thinking that your life depends on you is an illusion, and it's bound to lead to anxiety. It's a lie. It's a lie that the great father of lies has whispered into your ear and into your heart. And what a great lie it is. How can any one of us control anything in our lives? For in order to control our lives, we would need to control the universe. And how can any one of us do that? And so there we are, fretting and anxious and afraid, trying to control our world. But it's hopeless. It's helpless. Jesus said, it's the Gentiles who are anxious, running here and running there, trying to control this and then trying to control that. And all the while we're living in a world in which there are wars and rumours of wars. So come to me, says Jesus. Lay down your fight to be the captain of your life and the master of your own fate, and come to me, for with me is life. For with me life is more than food, and your body is more than raiment. And so Jesus says, don't be afraid if you lose your life savings. Don't worry if you lose your job. Don't be afraid if your family is disintegrating. Do not fear if you've been slandered. Don't be afraid if you're sick. Do not fear. Come to me. Trust in me, and you'll find rest for your souls. I must draw to a close. Many people are asking, is this coronavirus a judgment that comes from God? On one level, I don't know how to answer that question. To be honest, it certainly seems as if it is. Many of you will have seen the pictures of Knutsford that I've posted on my Facebook page. And you'll have seen the empty streets where the merchants and shopkeepers have shut their doors. And so there is no buying and selling. Where the flute players and the guitarists no longer play. And so there is no singing and there is no dancing. Where the restaurants and takeaways have closed their doors, and so there is no longer any feasting and drinking. And even mourners who want to mourn can no longer mourn. I know this because at a recent funeral, no mourners could be present. But let me say one thing. In the Bible, judgment is often referred to as a crisis. In fact, the word crisis means judgment. It means an unmasking. That's what happens in a crisis. A great sifting is taking place, a great unveiling, a great revealing. And a lot of people, of course, are saying this. As they look back, they say, we couldn't ever have gone on living as we were, with all our identity politics, with our neglect of the NHS. But it has taken the crisis of the coronavirus to clarify this. Well, I think the crisis of the coronavirus has also revealed to us a painful truth. And that is, again, that we're not in control of our own worlds, let alone the universe. And so I pray that in this time of crisis, in this time, if you like, of judgment, that we may all learn a lesson. That this revealing of the truth may drive us to the one who said, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Amen. Amen.